For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello and welcome to the Monday Waffle podcast, produced and broadcast by ECU postgraduate broadcasting students. My name is Jake Batrick. Now, each week we will have some new voices in the studio, and this week joining me is the lovely Nicole Asher and the big man himself, Jesse Watkins. Guys, how are we?
That was a nice introduction. Yeah, don't get that very often.
Yeah, no, but pumped to be here, mate. Looking forward, cracking round of footy. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so basically what's happened, we found out this morning that on the weekend there was a bit of a brawl involving some Waffle players. Now, we're under the we understand that it was a Subiaco and West Perth players. Now, unfortunately, a West Perth player has been admitted to hospital, has had surgery this morning on a dislocated ankle, and it looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season. So it's big news.
Mate, absolute coach killer. I mean, that he'd be gutted, wouldn't he? Like, it's not even on the field. That's just, it's...
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to feel sorry for someone when they've gone out and had a fight too.
So. No, you just feel sorry for the coaching staff.
I mean, yeah,
all the effort
for
they
sure.
put into that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, nurse him through these games with endless physiotherapy and strapping and things. And then bloke calls in the next morning. He's like, oh, I had a really big night. And yeah, I'm gone for the season now. Thanks for coming.
I mean, that's the, you know, the disappointing thing from a coach's point of view will be that these blokes have been out until we think it's about 4 a.m. on the lemonades, if we can call them that. Anyway, our reporter Claire Dell has been talking to Tim Gossage this morning, and he's going to fill us in on all the details.
Tim, can you just give us a quick rundown of what you know about the scuffle on Saturday night?
Yeah, it seems to have been Saturday night and certainly through to early hours of Sunday morning, 4 a.m. we're led to believe. It's been an ongoing feud, according to my sources, between the two clubs and players from both clubs, and it also has a connection, I think, to on-field, because you've got to remember that these two clubs played in the Waffle Grand Final last year, and there was somewhat of an altercation, quite a big brawl late in the game where there were suspensions handed out and there was quite a lot of people involved in it and was quite nasty. Now, this incident, we're led to believe, did happen over there in Leaderville, happened at an establishment, then went spilled over outside and was continued on, and where one player has sort of suffered a serious injury, which required surgery over the weekend, and we're led to believe he won't play again this year. So it involved a number of players, and both clubs are certainly have been continuing their investigation throughout the day, as has the WA Football League.
Right, and what do you think about the fact that all these players were out until the early hours of the morning?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's WAFL football. You'd imagine it wouldn't happen if they were AFL players. But, you know, they're representing their football clubs. They've now brought their clubs into disrepute of some description, so they've got to take some responsibility for that. It's not what the WAFL certainly needs. Some of these players have profiles, have certainly been involved in systems far greater than the Waffle and should have known better. But it seems as though it's been a bit of a personal battle between a number of the players, and it spilled over on Saturday night, and it looks like it's come to a head. So as much as it's serious, let's hope it's the last we see of these of this type of behaviour, especially, I mean, it's just a bad look for footy, bad look for these two respective clubs.
Right, now the police did attend the scuffle. Is there going to be ongoing police investigation?
Yeah, interesting, Claire, that you say that. I mean, they certainly were across the incident, but we're led to believe that they weren't able to press any charges because of somewhat lack of cooperation from the parties involved. I suppose you can't act on anything unless there's charges wanted to be laid from any respective partner, but or player in regards to this. So I think it's now certainly in the hands of the two respective clubs and the WAFL, and I think both those clubs will certainly act accordingly. And I think you'll find that players will be suspended from playing duties because of what took place on Sunday morning.
Right, well, we will keep on top of that story and see what happens there with the respective football clubs. Thanks so much for your time today, Tim.
My pleasure, Claire.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Now, after a disappointing start to the show, let's get stuck into the footy, guys. The Royals, East Perth, defeated Swan Districts 16-13, 109 to 15-6, 96. Now, I was at the East Perth, the East Frio game this week, checking the scores, and it looked like it was going to be a bit of a blowout early, but the Swans had a massive last quarter. But Jesse, who played really well for the Royals this week?
I like the look of Josh Hill in the forward line. He kicked three, but a player of his caliber, I mean, you really expect nothing less. But Brant College and Stephen Payne absolutely ran amok for the Royals, having 30 and 31 respectively touches. So they did really well. But I mean, Easts just look like a team that knows their systems really, really well. They're well coached. They're fit. And they just didn't look like they were panicking. And there was a few moments where Swannies really tested them. Early on in the game, it was pretty easy going for the Royals. They just kind of ground it out, and Swans couldn't do too much about it. But having said that, there were patches in the game where the Swans just absolutely took control. And, yeah. They kicked three goals straight at the start of the fourth quarter, I think it was. And the Royals just struggled to go with them. So there's good signs for both teams, and I think both of them will take a lot away from this game, because the Royals will build on a very solid foundation and they'll be happy for the win. The Swans, not necessarily coming off a solid foundation, but they show that patches of utter dominance. And if they can string that together and bring consistency to that, they'll go a long way towards a premiership this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Royals kicked 8-4 in the first half, so doubled their score basically in the first half. And then it was pretty much all Swans. I mean, they kicked 13 goals in the second half, so that's a pretty phenomenal effort. Nicole, who were the main goal kickers for the Swans?
So we had Matt Riggio kicked one, Ricky Carey kicked three. Aaron Ellery had a good game. He had 27 disposals. And talking about Matt Riggio again, he also did well. He had 26 touches, four marks. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the Swans were pretty unlucky not to get across the line in the final quarter.
I think they just left it a little bit too late. But yeah, I mean, Matt Riggio, he kicked three goals and had around 30 touches last week. So he's in good form for the Swans. But look, I think they need a couple of other blokes to, you know, step up. And like we were talking about West Perth last week, their midfield were very quiet, except for Shane Nelson, who got nearly 40 touches. It's a similar thing for the Swans as well this week. They just need a couple of other players to step up and share the load. And I think if they can get that done, I reckon this year they'll be pretty close to getting a finals berth.
Yeah, I think that's it's a classic case of champion team. I mean, the Royals, no one in particular really stood out as just absolutely dominant, but they just, you know, they cruised through, and despite the patches where the Swans really took them to pieces, they never looked like they were panicking. A couple of key times as the Swans were making their comeback, the Easts were trapped on their goal line trying to make an exit, and it didn't look like any of their players were really struggling to find someone or unsure what to do. They really just a couple of handballs, ran with each other, backed each other up, and then they'll hit a target and they make a very efficient exit. And that really characterised the rest of their game.
Yeah, so our Monday Waffle reporter, Josie McDonald, caught up with Josh Hill to get his thoughts on what was a pretty solid game for the Royals.
So, first of all, congratulations on your win. How do you think that your performance was?
Yeah, it was all right. I kicked a few goals. You know, that was something to get my confidence up leading into the season. And I think a lot of boys, you know, lifted individually. You know, like first game of Liam Duggan, he's definitely, you know, proved that he's worthy of playing AFL. So hopefully he can keep performing the way he is. You know, blokes like Paddy Brophy, he's getting a few experiences. Got an Irishman in there, and he's learning how to play AFL. And you know, it's just great to have all the young boys come in and have a bit of experience.
Yeah, and how do you think the team's travelling?
Yeah, we had a tough start last week, but I think we've definitely bounced back this week and proven that we're definitely going to be a side to reckon with this year.
And what do you think secured your win today?
I think it was just, you know, boys just working together, understanding a bit more of the roles and being able to adjust into new positions. And, you know, we had a loss to Murray Newman and Big Jono, but we were able to adapt to that and have players like Fraser go in the ruck and yeah, play their role.
And were you worried in the last quarter that Swans were maybe going to get up?
Yeah, we're a bit nervous, you know, but you got to hold your head high and fight it out to the last siren, and we did that.
once again, congratulations. Thanks for chatting to us.
So Good Friday football on Friday this week. It's the big derby between East Perth and Subiaco. Guys, who do we think is going to get the chocolates this week?
I think Subi is the team expected to win this one. I think most games Subi will go in favourites this year.
Yep.
But certainly I think the Royals will push them.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I've seen Subiaco both weeks so far this season, and they've had patches where they've lacked a little bit of, I don't know what the word is. They've just looked
cohesion
a little bit.
Almost.
Yeah, they've looked a bit flat. I mean, they got out of the blocks very quickly against East Frere, which we'll get to later in the show. But the only thing that worries me with the Royals is the Eagles. Obviously, the AFL kicking off this weekend.
Take a little bit of talent out of their lineup.
Absolutely. So for that reason, I'm going to go with the Lions to make it 3-3 with the start of the season.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Now, each week, Channel 7 will be broadcasting a Waffle game. So, to give us the inside word on the weekend's Waffle action, we have Channel 7's own Mark Reddings. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Now, last week, all four games were decided by more than 5 goals. So, this week, it was great to see some closer results. What was your pick of the round?
Well, absolutely. We were at the South Fremantle-Perth game at Lathlane Park. I'll touch on that in a while, but certainly, I guess, the standout game on paper was Subiaco and East Fremantle, a rematch of last year's prelim final. And that is the game that actually did blow out in the end. Subiaco running out comfortable winners by 47 points. Shane Yaron with 5 goals was terrific for Subiaco. So any doubts that maybe the Lions might have that premiership hangover have been put to bed pretty early. They were terrific on the weekend. West Perth holding on to win by 7 points over Peel in a very competitive game. Of course, that match featuring quite a few Fremantle Dockers being given a chance to either get some match fitness or prove their form and fitness for round one, which happens this Sunday in the AFL. And East Perth, despite being belted in round one, fought back and knocked over Swan Districts at Medibank Stadium with Josh Hill, the West Coast Eagles' assistant player, kicking 3 goals for the Royals.
Now, the televised game this week, as you said, was the Demons and the Bulldogs. Now, the Demons will be bitterly disappointed this week. They could have won this one.
They could have, but look, from what I saw, they were 1-7 at half-time. In the end, they got beaten by 10 points. It looked like it could have been a 10-goal blowout with the way South Fremantle were playing in the first half. Look, the Demons will be disappointed. They got within a couple of kicks in that last quarter. But end of the day, I think Bill Sporting would be pretty happy with the commitment shown by his players. They managed to, as I say, get close in that last quarter. Great comeback. Leonard kicked 3 goals for the Mitch Morton and Arangio with 2 apiece. So they were good. But when you look at South Fremantle's forward line, Ben Saunders with 4 goals and James Seller with 3. They had those key marking targets that Perth didn't have for much of the day. So, albeit the fact they were beaten Perth, I reckon they'd be pretty happy with the spirit shown after the first week disaster. And they now get the chance to maybe build on that and hopefully compress other sides and get some wins on the board before the season is too much older.
Yeah, now it doesn't get any easier for the Demons. They've got to travel up to Joondalup next week to play the Falcons. How do you think they'll go?
It'll be tough. I haven't seen West Perth yet, but obviously they were pretty relieved to get that victory on the weekend over Peel. You'd have to think that West Perth would start warm favourites up there. Always a tough place to play, irrespective of how the Falcons are travelling. So West Perth should take care of Perth, you would think, over that Easter weekend.
And who can we see in action on Channel 7 in the Waffle this weekend?
Yeah, looking forward to this one. 3:10, the bounce down between Subiaco and East Perth at Medibank Stadium. Of course, a rematch of last year's grand final. Both these teams look as if they'll be primed and hopefully a really good television audience and ground capacity audience at the ground to see two really good sides. So hopefully people get there in their numbers. It is a 3:10 bounce, as I said. That should be an absolute ripper. South Fremantle take on Claremont at Fremantle Oval on the Friday as well. And then it's Peel v East Fremantle and then West Perth and Perth on the Saturday. So a big weekend of Easter footy, not only on 7, but also for all the WAFL clubs.
Now, just quickly, I want to get your thoughts on Good Friday football. Now, the Waffle's had it for a while now. Do you think the AFL needs to get some Good Friday football in the fixtures?
I thought that might have been the case once Andrew Demetrio left his post at the AFL, but Gillon McLachlan hasn't budged on that. Of course, we see it in the Super 15s. We see it in the NRL. Lots of sports have now taken Good Friday as a chance to showcase their their competitions, and the AFL haven't done that. So, look, from a Waffle point of view, it's terrific that we get basically all eyes in the West on the local competition. I think down the track it's certainly a possibility. There's more and more pressure with clubs trying to get a corner of the market, a bit like Anzac Day, to showcase their club and provide their sponsors with an outlet. But for the time being, the AFL looks like they're standing in their ground, and we'll have to go with Thursday night this week and then follow that with the Saturday day and night football.
Yes, it certainly is an intriguing prospect. I think it's one footy fans would certainly embrace, but that's a conversation for another time. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Have a great week.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
So it was Subiaco playing East Frio on Saturday afternoon in a rematch of last year's preliminary final. Subiaco got over the line, winning 17-12, 114 to the Sharks, 9 goals, 13, 67. Guys, it was a close game. It was level at half-time with the scores 43 apiece. And then it was an absolute mauling.
Sharks just fell apart, didn't they?
They did. They certainly fell apart. The Lions just got hold of them, kicking 13 goals to 3 in the second half. So an absolute mauling, if you can pardon the pun, there by the Lions. Now, Jesse, the Lions had a lot of goal kickers. Just run us through who the main ones were.
Yaron, he's kicked 5 and Wheeler's kicked 3, but I mean, 5 for Yaron is a very comprehensive performance. Yeah. Ellis kicked 5 for the Sharks, but from apart from him, there wasn't a lot going on elsewhere. But they've got an even spread, Subi. They've had 5 for Yaron, 3 for Wheeler, 2 for Waters, 2 for Garcia, and the list goes on. So it's really quite comprehensive. You can see that third quarter where they've absolutely thumped them and taken it away. So,
yeah.
I mean, prior to that, they were in control, but it looks like Subi's gone, nah, we're done here. Switch it on and put it to bed.
Yeah, I mean, Clancy Wheeler kicked 5 last week, and so did Shane Yaron. So Shane Yaron's got 10 goals for the season. He's leading the leading goal kickers tally, which we'll get to a bit later on. So, look, I think the forward line for the Lions is starting to click early on, which is great signs for them for the rest of the season. They got out of the blocks early against the Sharks, kicked the first 3 goals, but the Sharks clawed their way back into it with the next 3, and then it was basically goal for goal until halftime. It was extremely windy. In the third quarter where the Lions kicked 7 goals, they absolutely just used the wind to advantage there.
I was wondering what was behind that.
Yeah. So it was phenomenal. Sharks just
kicked long and strong.
Yeah, didn't have an answer there. So, it was an interesting game. But just no one at the ground expected it. I mean, the Sharks fans were very, very quiet in that third quarter. Very disappointing. So, Nicole, who were the standout performers for the East Fremantle Sharks?
Brandon Ellis had the 5 goals and 3 behinds and 16 touches, so a pretty outstanding game by him. So he was the best for East Frio. We had Rory O'Brien. He had 27 touches, kicked a point. So
handy.
Very handy. I mean, when you look at their score, everything counts.
Yeah, I mean,
but they were the main performers,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, Brandon Ellis was the most outstanding player for the Sharks. You know, kicked 5 goals, and he could have easily kicked 7 or 8. He missed his 3 behinds there, but all in a row in the last quarter. I mean, the game was pretty much done and dusted. So, you know, he definitely could have kicked a lot more. And it was, I mean, if you're going to take anything out of the game from the Sharks' point of view, the fact that Brandon Ellis was constantly leading, presenting to the ball, providing a target for the midfield was excellent. And, you know, Rory O'Brien, he's won 3 best and fairest for the Sharks as well. So he was also good. But other than that, there wasn't a lot going on for the Sharks for this game. So bit disappointing from them. Now, we caught up with Subiaco's Shane Yaron after he kicked 5 to see what he thought on the team's performance.
So you've had 5 goals in each of the first 2 games. So kind of what do you put this down to? Do you think you've had a really strong pre-season or...?
Oh, it's no secret to it. It's just hard work. Yeah, I could say with pre-season and getting down with the boys and hard work.
Yeah. So you're playing East Perth next week. They've had a kind of a mixed start to the season. How do you rate your chances against them?
I would take them every week as we come, so we'll get around we'll do our recovery and we'll come Monday morning and we'll assess what's going to happen and we'll go from there.
Beautiful. And Clancy Wheeler, last week he had 5 goals, this week he's had 3. Do you think you guys are really clicking in the forward line?
Oh yeah, me and Clancy are down in the forward line together, we're gelling well, so yeah, can't ask for any better than that.
Beautiful. And I know it's early days, but you are currently leading in the Bernie Naylor medal tally. Should I put some money on you? Or?
Nah, very early days at the moment. Nah, it's a long season, but looking forward to it, so hopefully all goes well.
Well, you're too modest, but thank you so much for speaking to me.
You're welcome.
So, as we mentioned before, Subiaco play East Perth in the derby on Friday night. What's next for East Frio? Well, they travel to Peel Thunder, to Bendigo Bank Stadium. Guys, who's your pick? I mean, for me, it's East Frio. I think they definitely will bounce back, given that Peel doesn't have a lot of Dockers players playing for them this week. Jesse, who's your pick?
Look, I wanted to back Peel again because I had them last week, but they've absolutely ruined my tipping. this one just gone. Thanks for nothing, boys. So I'm going to go East Fremantle because Peel will lose a bunch of players to the Dockers, and East Frio, I reckon, will pump them.
Nicole?
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to go East Frio. Similar reasons, but also I imagine they're going to get a bit of a, you know, kick up from the coach.
Kick up the proverbial.
Thank you. Thanks for the save. After last week's game, and you know, I think it could be much of a muchness though, really.
Yep, swings and roundabouts, you reckon?
All of that.
yeah, all those fantastic clichés.
Look, I think East Frio, you know, they kicked 7 goals, 26 in that prelim last year and weren't able to really do much better than that this week against Subi. So surely they've got to be disappointed, and I think they will bounce back against an understrength Peel Thunder side. But anything can happen in the world of footy, as we know.
Very true.
So stay tuned for that one.
Coming from the studios of ECU, this is the Monday Waffle.
An influx of Dockers players wasn't enough to get Peel over the line in their Saturday afternoon clash with West Perth, going down 13-6-84 to 11-11-77. Peel added 15 AFL players to their lineup, including experienced Dockers midfielder Michael Barlow, but the Falcons were too strong to hold off a gallant Thunder comeback. The Falcons started the game strongly with 5-3 in the first quarter. The second quarter saw the Thunder hit back with 4-1, giving the visitors an 11-point lead heading into the main break. But West Perth were too strong in the third quarter and Peel couldn't keep up. Peel coach Cam Shepherd said the team weren't disheartened by the loss.
We're pretty pleased with our efforts at 3 of the 4 quarters on the weekend when we played our first game, and disappointed with how the third quarter panned out, and we're looking forward to responding this weekend.
For the Falcons, Andrew Strike was a standout with 38 touches. He was well supported by Shane Nelson and Aaron Black, who gathered 32 and 30 respectively. Michael Lowry displayed great accuracy for the Falcons, kicking 4 goals. Peel's Jonathan Griffin was dominant in the ruck with 53 hitouts, while Dockers players Daniel Pearce and Max Duffy each kicked 2 goals. Shepherd said the inclusion of AFL players brings the team closer.
Welcomed the Fremantle players in at Peel Thunder, and we had 15 on the weekend, and they affect the team. We think it brings us closer, so we're working on that bond so that we can become successful.
The game once again shone a spotlight on the controversial TV wars between official Waffle broadcasters Channel 7 and rival Channel 9. 7 have refused to broadcast West Perth games due to a sponsorship deal with 9. The feud escalated this weekend when camera crews from 9, 10 and the ABC were refused access to HBF Arena when they tried to film news footage of Dockers players. Next Saturday, Peel take on East Fremantle at Bendigo Bank Stadium, while West Perth play last year's Wooden Spooners Perth at HBF Arena. Claire Dell for the Monday Waffle.
Now, after last week's tipping debacle, guys, we headed into round two all on 0 points because we were all awarded the away teams, which we know all lost. So this week. A few surprises, Nicole. I notice you've got a big grin plastered across your face. You got 4 from 4. Did you know you got 4 from 4?
I did.
Okay, good.
I was well aware
She's
of
very
that.
Indignant about that as well.
I tipped with knowledge. Yeah, it wasn't just a random stab in the dark. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that off air. Now, Jared, we haven't met Jared yet. He's been helping out as well. He also got 4 from 4. Josh, who we had on the show last week, was also 4 from 4. So those three guys are equal first on our tipping ladder. And then myself, Jesse, and Mark are on in equal second, who got 3 from 4. And then Josie and Claire were 2 from 4. So they hold the bottom of the ladder up for the rest of us. Now, for the rest of this week, for round 3, Jess, you tipped East Perth against Subi.
Yes, myself, absolutely, mate.
Jake, sorry. Jake, we tipped. Nicole, you and I tipped Subi. So that's done and dusted. And we all tipped East Frio against the Thunder. Now, the other Good Friday game is South Fremantle hosting Claremont. Jesse, you're going to kick us off. Who do you reckon?
Yep, South Frio, mate. Claremont, don't think they'll be quite up to speed yet. I mean, they played one game. They've had the bye. They're coming back. I think it's a bit disjointed. South Fremantle look the real deal this year, and it's South Frio at home. So I think they'll take care of Claremont.
Interesting. Nicole?
This is a tough one. I don't know which way to go. Tempted to go with Claremont just because they did play a pretty good game in the first round. But, yeah, I'll go Claremont.
Claremont. Okay.
Yeah, I reckon.
All right. Cool. I'm writing that down, so you're on the record. Are you on the record of saying that?
I am on the record.
Okay, beautiful. I'm going to go South Frio because they've won.
He loves a bandwagon.
I do love a bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I just love getting behind the Bulldogs. I like, as a team mascot, I like the Bulldog. Mm. Just because they're not the most athletic animal going around.
Just tenacious. Tenacity.
They just get the job done. So I'm going Souths.
I didn't realise that this was mascot-based.
Oh. Why? Do you want to change your tips?
No, I'll leave it, but next time I might consider that.
Okay. All right. I've only said that because I've got no idea. And the final game of the weekend is West Perth hosting Perth up in Joondalup. Perth were better this week. Still have lost 2 games in a row.
They were a bit of a
still
shambles.
Well off the pace.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to go my Falcons. That's the head and the heart talking in that one. Jesse?
Yeah, West Perth look to be building nicely. So I'm going to keep on the bandwagon, as Nicole would say, and go with Wests.
Nicole, you love a bandwagon as well.
Definitely jumping on that one. I was almost going to joke that I was going to go for Perth, but
that's so harsh. Any Demons listeners, you just ignore her.
Sorry.
She's a horrible lady.
Sorry.
And that's Josh's gear as well from last week. So anyway, look, that's all we've got time for, guys. Thank you, Nicole and Jesse. You've been
pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And we will catch you next week.
Bye. Can't wait.
Bye.